Visioneers, Episode 7, Love and Sorrow.
So, Mark has pulled off the miracle of freeing Esther. Des, this is the first glimmer of hope in the story, that somehow the spirit of the Visioneers can make a breakthrough. But it has been preceded by so much agony and violence. Is this another message for the world?
It always seems to be like that in human affairs. But the implication is now clear, that we're running out of the tolerance space in the universe for our wretchedness in human relations. It's indeed a time for breakthrough.
So Esther and Jenny are free. How does the world react?
Well, the first encounter is with Israeli authorities, and the reaction is predictable. I'll let the book tell the story. After an hour's questioning, David Roth is allowed to leave to go to attend to the business of his son's burial. The rest of them are taken by military vehicle to an interrogation center in Jerusalem. They find themselves in the presence of an officer who introduces himself simply as Colonel Greenberg of Special Services. He's a short, stocky man with thick black hair and a heavy black mustache. His voice, as he speaks in English, has a thick accent.
Now tell me again, what the hell is going on here? We have a very serious bombing, 4 people are killed, many others injured, and you 2 women are taken hostage, presumably with some connection to the bombing, and now you turn up with these 2 men coming out of Arab-occupied land, apparently uninjured, and you say, freely released by captors whose faces you never saw. Now, come on, ladies and gentlemen. Things don't happen that way. And even if they did, I still want to know who these murderous bastards are so we can round them up and put them away.
Look, says Mark, I appreciate where you're coming from, Colonel, but there's no clear connection between the bombing and the hostage-taking. I believe there were different people involved. They might know each other, but we dealt only with the hostage-takers, and they've acted in good faith in letting Esther and Jenny go. We've assured them, because of that, that there'll be no reprisals.
Listen, Mr. Venture, you have no authority here to make deals with these criminals.
All right, you might have got these 2 women out, but what about the next ones and the ones after that? You won't be around to deal with those, but I will. And I want to know what you know about this lot so I can move on them now before they do it again.
And where's the end to that?
There isn't any. You have to make a different intervention if you're going to get a different outcome. We've made a start on that this morning. The most valuable thing you can do is to keep it going. This is much bigger than Israel and the Palestinians. I have the world media waiting for me as soon as I get out of here, and what I say to them about the reaction of Israeli authorities to this incident will have a dramatic impact, not only on what happens here, but on reducing the power of terrorism and conflict around the world. Things are beginning very quickly now, Colonel. You don't realize it yet, but you've suddenly been thrust into the center of a movement that's going to sweep the world. I don't fully understand it myself, but I'm running with it because I sense the outcome is going to be a major breakthrough. All I ask of you now is don't get in the way of it. You can't stop it anyway, but you can do a lot to help make it move.
Mark is right, Colonel Greenberg.
Esther has intervened.
If anyone has a right to say something here, it's me and Jenny. We're Israelis. We were snatched out of our car, hauled off in the dark to we don't know where. We were terrified. We expected to be raped and killed at any moment, but we weren't. They treated us decently under the circumstances. And then, when Mark and the others arrived this morning, you wouldn't believe the change that took place. There was movement. There was real movement, because these men came right in, unarmed, no soldiers, and said we want to take our friends home. And David Roth was there, his own son lying dead in the funeral home. And there he was, walking openly into the enemy camp with Mark and Mohammed. I mean, you have to understand what kind of powerful statement that was. And then we all listened to Luis Valdez and saw him cut down in the middle of his beautiful vision by the same kind of violence that tore the life out of Joshua Roth. Do you know about Luis Valdez, Colonel? Have you heard what happened? If you haven't, then you will. Before the end of the day, the whole world will know about Luis Valdez, and through Mark, they'll know about what happened here in Bethlehem, and the people will see that it's all part of the same miracle that will change the world. Now, Jenny and I are very tired and very dirty. We've been held as hostages for over 36 hours with no chance to clean up. We've been frightened out of our wits. We just want to leave now. We've told you all we can. We don't really know who our captors were or what they may have done in the past. We just sense that because of everything that's happened, they can help change the direction of the future for the better. Now, could we please leave and go and have a hot bath?
After that, Greenberg backs off. He agrees that they can leave while he completes an initial report. Jenny is taken home while the other three go to Mark's hotel. Pamela Barrett of ZNN is sitting in the lobby when they come in. At sight of Mark and Mohammed, she's on her feet in a flash.
Chalk one more up for women's intuition. I figured you two would turn up here pretty soon, so I decided to come down and wait.
She looks at Esther.
Now, if this is who I think it is, I know I'll have the scoop of my life.
Hello, Pamela, says Mark. I'd like you to meet Esther Fisher. Esther, I promised Pamela an interview when we got back.
Esther, it's such a pleasure to meet you. I've admired your work as an artist for a long time, though we haven't met before. When I heard you'd been kidnapped, I couldn't believe it. Now here you are, free, as part of this group of visioneers. The world is just waiting to hear your story. Could we do a short interview?
Esther smiles a little ruefully and nods.
All right. But you'll have to excuse how I look. Don't worry about that. For someone who's been through the ordeal you faced, you're just fine. What about your friend Jenny? Where is she? She's safe at home. Oh, I'm glad to hear that. All right, then. Let's get started.
Pamela Barrett quickly organizes, and her cameraman begins the shooting. A crowd of interested bystanders is beginning to gather. Pamela speaks first, setting the scene.
From time to time in the life of a news reporter, one has the sense of being present at events of great importance. Royal weddings, world conferences, space launches, presidential inaugurations. I've been to my share of them, but never have I felt more excited than I do at this moment. A few hours ago, I sat in the darkened studios at ZNN with a few others and watched an extraordinary telecast coming in by satellite from South America. It was a simple Roman Catholic priest, Luis Valdez, describing his vision for the future of a world run on cooperation and love and built from the ground up, so to speak, by ordinary people putting out their visions for the future. As we sat and watched, we were horrified to see this lovely man cut down by an assassin in front of our eyes. Since then, over the past 6 or 7 hours, the telecast has been replayed on thousands of channels all over the world. People everywhere are asking the same questions. What's this all about? Is this a new 21st century crucifixion? Was this Christ held up again before us, cut down by violence his teaching from 2,000 years earlier had not overcome? What are we to make of this? Who was the killer? We don't have answers yet. But now something else extraordinary has just occurred here in Jerusalem. The well-known Israeli artist Esther Fisher was captured 2 days ago by terrorists along with her friend Jenny Lovix. Now I have Esther Fisher here with me, safe and sound, and Jenny is fine too. Their release was secured by Esther's friends, Mark Venture and Mohammed Hussein, and both of them are here as well. All of these people, including Luis Valdez, the murdered priest, are calling themselves visioneers. Judging by events to date, they seem to be miracle workers. Now, we're about to find out.
While Pamela was speaking, the camera covered Esther, Mark, and Mohammed. The crowd in the hotel lobby is growing larger. Hotel staff have moved in to keep order. Pamela Barrett thrusts her microphone towards Esther. The camera covers both of them.
Esther, let's begin by saying how relieved we are that you're safe and fine. What happened? Tell us the story. It's hard to tell everything about something like this. I haven't really put it all together for myself yet. But the main point I'd like people to understand is that Jenny and I, just a few hours ago, were captives in fear of losing our lives. Now we're free. It's a kind of miracle. Mark, Mohammed and David Roth, whose son was killed in the bomb blast last Saturday, just came to where we were being held and asked to take us home. Just like that. They came unarmed and asked to take us home.
Pamela turns to Mark.
Mark, that's incredible. How did you know where to find Esther? Why would you go unarmed without soldiers?
It begins with understanding what the visioneers are trying to show. You heard it from Louis Valdez. The fact that he was brutally murdered doesn't make what he was saying any less true. It just underlines the importance of paying attention to what he said.
And in fact, that's what happened. Mark got our captors to watch a repeat of Louis' telecast. That's when I saw it for the first time. It began so beautifully and ended so tragically. It seemed to make our own situation, as bad as it was, somehow less terrible. But the effect on our kidnappers was more important than anything else. After watching that and listening to Mark and Mohammed, they just let us go. Even for those violent men, more violence didn't make sense. But terrorists don't behave like that.
That's our whole point. If you start to shift the way people think about violence and conflict towards the model that Louis Valdez described, then you can see something amazing beginning to happen. What we've seen here today in Israel is just the beginning of a change that's going to sweep the world. After that, the cut and thrust of questions and answers continued apace. Who are the visioneers? What are they trying to do? Who were Esther's captors? What's happened to them? What are the police doing about it? Who killed Louis Valdez? Why was he killed? What's going to happen next? Throughout it all, Esther and Mark keep making their point. The old ways of conflict and retaliation will not work in the future, just as they've never really worked in the past. But now they have the potential to destroy the Earth as the one planet in the universe which we know can support life. Human consciousness cannot accept that outcome. The change to a new consciousness for peace and cooperation is building, and the visioneers have come as catalysts to help speed the transformation. Pamela Barrett plays her role fairly. It's clear that she wants to find truth in what Esther and Mark are saying, but she can't let go of the past. She turns to Mohammed and asks the obvious question.
Mohammed, you've been in the center of the Arab and Israeli conflict for a long time. You've got an important role at the United Nations. What do you say about this? Can the visioneers bring a new kind of thinking to the world?
Yes. I want you to know that I subscribe with all my heart to what my friends Mark and Esther have said. I am an Arab, and I grieve that we haven't found the brotherhood among ourselves to enjoy peace and prosperity. We're a deeply religious people, and our belief in Allah is absolute. But still we seem to wander century after century, unable to separate illusion from reality, and all too ready to follow power figures who promise greatness, but who mostly bring sorrow and suffering on our heads. We indeed need to learn the skills of the visioneers, and I'm here to work with my people in all of the Arab states to find that vision of the future that can forge our brotherhood as Arabs and our joint citizenship on the planet with all of our fellow human beings. To do this, we'll need to look deep into our hearts, to put aside grievances and old sores. The sands of the desert have run too deep in blood for too long. It's an immense task, the building of brotherhood, not by the sword, but by the mind, seeing our success in our brother's progress. We must reach for that, each helping each. And those who say that this is too naive or simplistic should remember the dismal record we've had to date by following the other path of violence and deceit. The path of the visioneers calls for all good men and women to step forward in such numbers that no power on earth can stop them, in their intent to build a future that is good and true and decent. That's what I wanted to say. Not only to my brother Arabs, but to the Israelis, and to all who have love in their hearts for this earth, and a sense of what we must build of it together.
As he spoke, it was clear that Mohammed was moved by great passion. The camera zooms in on him. Tears stand out large and overflowing in his eyes until they run down his cheeks, and he fumbles for a tissue to brush them away. Esther and Mark move closer to give him support. At last, the interview is over. The bright lights are turned off. The camera stops running. Pamela Barrett thanks them all and leaves. But the crowd of onlookers, who had steadily gathered in numbers as time went on, don't leave. They press forward smiling, hands outstretched to touch the visioneers, to wish them well, to thank them for what they're doing. As they look into the small sea of friendly, smiling faces, Mark, Esther, and Mohammed catch a glimpse of the future world of their vision, far removed from the blood-stained studio of death in northern Chile and the gaping ruin of a bombed-out apartment in Jerusalem. A small girl comes forward, throws her arms around Esther. Her childish face is open and unafraid. "I want to be a visioneer," she says. "Will you teach me how?"
And Pamela Barrett stayed to hear it. She may well have noted that this was the most important question of the morning. Now, the next encounter with world reaction we see is from Rabbi Reuven Ben Sabbath at the burial ceremony for Joshua Roth, which is taking place that afternoon. He grieves for the tragedy of Joshua's cruel murder. Then he turns his focus on the terrorists who killed him. "What can we say about monsters who would commit such a crime against our families? Our minds are revolted by their actions. Every fiber of our humanity is violated by what they've done. Our voices choke with outrage as we shout out until the very hills reverberate with our anger that such wickedness clothed in human form should walk the earth. There is no judgment too severe that could be passed against such abomination, and we cry out to God that in his infinite wisdom he will deal with them as they deserve. But, my friends, what of our own actions here and now in the face of this cruel and senseless assault against us? Do we turn with vengeance and seek for retribution against these criminals? To act as they have acted is to debase ourselves to their level. We seek justice, not retribution, and we must leave it to our authorities to find these criminals and bring them to trial. We are angry. We are outraged. But we must channel our outrage and our anger to search for the solutions to the problems that bring such tragedy and atrocity into our midst." Then it's David Roth's turn to speak. "My friends, thank you for coming. You will understand that I don't wish to speak of Joshua. I don't have the heart for that right now. And Rabbi Reuven has already been most eloquent and moving. I just wish a few moments to share what is in my heart about the future. The grief, the anger, the passion, all the hostility and rage of which the rabbi spoke, I feel them as a torment in my soul. They weigh on me like a burden of great weight, and I feel hatred stirring in my heart against those who have perpetrated this awful wickedness and all those in any way associated with them. And yet, I have to say, indeed this is all I wish to say, I feel a faint glimmer of hope that out of this time of unspeakable sorrow, we will see a change. This morning, under duress and persuasion from others more hopeful than myself, I met with terrorists and caught a glimpse of distress not unlike my own. Following a most remarkable time there in their house, completely at their mercy, we came away, bringing our Jewish women with us. My friends, there's a stirring in my heart that in this we may see the first faltering step toward a peace that will preserve the lives of our loved ones against the kind of tragedy that has overtaken my family. I can only say that with all my heart, I wish that this may be so. I know that Mina joins with me in this, and she would like to add a word." Mina Roth, grieving greatly, but resolute and strong, stands up beside her husband.
"Friends, what can a mother say at a time like this, when she feels half of her life has been taken away? My anger against the criminals who did this knows no bounds. And yet, like David, I am looking now for the answer that lies beyond the agony of our loss. If David caught a glimpse of it this morning, I swear I will with all my heart support him in trying to make it grow. Joshua was our child of love. He had a deep longing, even in his young years, for a lasting peace in the world. For Joshua and for all of us, David and I would now like to say the prayer for peace.
Together, with bowed heads, husband and wife, father and mother, standing beside the casket of their dead son, offer the prayer for peace.
May we see the day when war and bloodshed cease, when a great peace will embrace the whole world.
Then nation will not threaten nation, and mankind will not again know war.
For all who live on earth shall realize we have not come to being to hate or to destroy.
We have come into being to praise, to labor, and to love.
Compassionate God, bless the leaders of all nations with the power of compassion.
Fulfill the promises conveyed in Scripture.
I will bring peace to the land, and you shall lie down, and no one shall terrify you.
I will rid the land of vicious beasts, and it shall not be ravaged by war.
Let love and justice flow like a mighty stream.
Let peace fill the earth as the waters fill the sea.
And let us say, Amen. So, we've come to a breathing point. The end of a day filled with more emotional tension for Mark and Esther than most people might experience in a lifetime. Finally, in the unrelenting action of the story, they find time to be alone. The spark of attraction that first passed between them in the visioneering room has a chance to flicker into flame. Early evening has settled over Jerusalem. From their hotel balcony, Mark and Esther can see spread out below a tapestry of soft lights. They feel the cool edge of the air brought on the breezes blowing in from Judea and Samaria, sensing in their motion the deep and steady breathing of the ancient land that lies beyond this faint glow of human presence. Overhead, the stars are clear, brilliant, and timeless, as when Moses first looked out over the promised land that he would never enter. In this setting, over wine after dinner, Mark finds the words he never thought he would say to a woman again.
All I really want to do is be here with you, to learn to know you better, to understand who you are and what your Jewishness means. You know, before all this started, I was a very ordinary fellow from Brisbane with a good Church of England background. Well, I knew a bit about building bridges and roads. I had a marriage that went wrong, and I was out on my own and pretty wary of any further involvement. Then suddenly I'm catapulted into this visioneering scene, and there you are, pink sweater and white unicorn, and saying the most incredible things about creating a vision for the world. You know, it was you who got me fired up. I was saying to myself, who is this woman? She's Jewish. Hold on, Mark. You don't know anything about that. But I couldn't hold on. And suddenly, I was talking about Moses and the Exodus and all the rest of it. And I've known since then that if I was meant to be involved with this visioneering movement, it was going to be with you. Now things have started to move, but there's been so very little time for us. And even now, there's only tonight. So I must tell you now, Esther, while I can, that I've fallen very much in love with you, and you're more precious to me than anyone I've ever known or anything I might ever have.
She's looking across the table at him, her eyes moistening, catching the glow of the soft light on the balcony. Her lips move a little, but no voice comes, only her breathing, a little rushed, flooding her cheeks with color while her mind swims with a feeling of his words, knowing their truth, sensing how hard won they are to come from this man whose emotions and feelings are kept very close to himself.
Finally, she finds her voice and replies with the full spirit of one questing soul responding to another.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you for knowing and seeing in me who I really am. Thank you for saying you love me. I understand how strong men love. I sense in you a strong man looking for his partner. You'll find in me that I too know how to love from strength. I feel that love growing towards you, but I need a little more time. It takes time to move from alone to together, but I'm coming for tonight. My darling, just hold me.
Her lip is trembling a little as she feels herself drawn to this man who has come so suddenly into her life out of another world. She has grown up in Israel, and though she has traveled widely, her spirit, the deep inner part of her, is still defined by her homeland and its traditions. She was married as a young woman to an officer in the Israeli army. 8 years ago, he was killed in a border incident in Lebanon, and a light went out in her life. She hasn't felt it rekindled until now, until she met this tall, strong man from another land who seems to feel as deeply as she that life is meant to be lived with meaning and purpose. Looking across at him now in the stillness of this time together, she's not sure yet whether she can trust herself to love. She knows only in this moment that she wants to feel his arms around her and to move with him in the energy of their exchange.
In a moment, she has slipped around the table and he has risen to meet her. She folds herself to him, tipping back her head, parting her lips to be kissed. As their lips meet, the longing of two souls in search of a union comes flooding forth. Wave after wave of passionate desire ignites them as his strong arms pull them closer together. Her voice is murmuring, trembling, and low. Mark, hold me. Hold me tight. Hold me, my darling. Love me now. Love me.
The quiet evening in Jerusalem slides slowly into time, unrocked this night by bomb blasts or rifle fire. The city catching its breath against the tensions that engulf it. In the intimate space of their own precious time together, Mark and Esther move like wind across the grass, flowing gently in one sweet motion. Two minds, two spirits, two bodies committing to grow towards each other. In their union this evening, in the loving that transfuses their physical longing, in the quietness of the aftertime as they lie tenderly in each other's arms, in all of this, Mark and Esther gather their strength for whatever lies ahead. Tonight, they embrace their time together. Jerusalem enfolds them. And at the dawn, the world lies waiting.